Hey, what's up? Andrew Kramer here, VideoCopilot.net, and welcome to another action-packed video tutorial. And we've got a pretty cool one here, but it is on a subject that you may not know anything about, and that is DVD authoring. There's something interesting happening here, and I want to point that out, and that is when my kids grow up, it's possible they won't even know what a DVD is. You realize that? So I'll say, okay, kids, everybody in the car, we're going to the library. And that's assuming we're still driving cars and not teleporting or flying around. So on the way, they're going to ask, what's a library? And then I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I'm going to start losing my hair. And I'm going to say, don't you guys know what books are? And they're going to say, oh, books. We know what those are. We read those at school. And I'm going to say, thank goodness. And then they say, they're called ebooks. And we read them on the computer in our brains. It's a brave new world out there. Anyways, just one of many things to look forward to in the future. Now, I wanted to take a practical approach to teaching something that everybody needs to know, and that is creating a DVD, whether it's for your demo reel, a wedding, or even a film. You want to be able to put your project together and start getting it out to people on a format that everyone can use. So, let's take a look at what we're going to be creating. Recon Man Part 3. Now, what we have here is a simple DVD menu, but it's made up of some very specific components. First thing we notice is there's an introduction video, sort of a summary. And oftentimes, if you watch Hollywood movies, you notice they have like a little plot summary, and then all of a sudden it transitions into the menu where you can actually click on the buttons. So one of the things to note here is that at the point when everything comes together, that's what you might call your loop point. And that's the point that when the menu plays through for about 10 or 15 seconds, it's going to come back to that spot and begin looping. So ideally, you want the menu to be pretty much the same from here to here with maybe just a little bit of animation and a few slight changes. And that way, when the menu loops, it won't be that drastic of a jump. First thing we're going to do is create the simple design. Now, this tutorial isn't really about the design, it's about putting these key elements together. So we'll just kind of run through it. We're going to create a new composition. Now this part is somewhat important. What we need to do is choose the format that actually fits on a DVD. So it's either NTSC or PAL standard. So what I'm going to be using is the NTSC D1 widescreen square pixel. Now we can't actually render out this format, but we are going to use it to create our design. So we're going to design in the square pixels, and we'll actually export in the widescreen mode, which we'll get into a little bit later. So we're going to create our menu. We want it to be about 15 seconds. And then I'll choose OK. And then we'll go ahead and create a new solid. And we'll just make this sort of a greenish gray solid. And we'll choose OK and OK. And then we'll create another new solid, which will be just a bit lighter. And then we're going to take the mask tool, and we're going to mask off the bottom part. And then we're going to take another mask, and we're going to mask off even a little bit lower than that. So what we're going to do is take the second mask and change it to subtract. And then we'll go down the mask properties, and we'll turn up the feathering amount. And that way we create just a slight gradient. We can also move the mask around by selecting it and just moving it around here. And I'm also going to feather the top mask just a few, about 20. So now let's create our title. So I'll take the text tool and we'll click in here. We'll type Recon Man Part 4. And we also want to go ahead and give it a slight variant. So we'll select man and we'll change it from bold to regular. And you can use an Arial font for this. It works pretty well. And we're going to scale it up here and move it over. Now, make sure that you pay attention to the title safe. Whenever you're doing broadcast type of things like DVDs, you want to make sure that you're within the title safe. So we'll go ahead, shut that off. And the next thing we need to do is add a simple drop shadow. So we'll choose Effect, perspective drop shadow. And we'll move the direction up and the distance to about 2. And then we're going to create another fake shadow. And we're going to use a solid, preferably like a dark colored solid. Choose OK, OK. And then we're going to take the rectangle tool. And we can shut the layer off by the eyeball. And then move in here and just draw a little bit of a rectangle right below our text. And then we can turn it back on, hide the mask for a moment, and then we're going to feather it. So we're going to uncheck the XY feathering, and we're going to turn it up and just have a very slight. And the other thing we may do is shrink the size of the mask. So if we take the selection tool, we can just click on the bottom points and move them up. And now we just have a soft shadow. And then we can lower the opacity to maybe 30 and put that below our text. So now let's add the menu buttons. So I'll take the text tool, and we're going to click in here. We'll type play feature, and we'll change this to black, and we actually want to scale it down some. And once you get it right, we can just duplicate it, and we'll slide it over, and we'll call this one bonus features. And you can add as many buttons as you want. We'll just stop with just these two, and we'll slide them over here. And this is looking pretty good. Now, the other key element is our video. So we'll come over here to our project, and we'll go to footage, and we have fight footage. So what we have here is Sam and Samir getting into a little bit of a fight. And it looks pretty intense, but the truth is Sam is pretty scared. In fact, he's probably thinking, I gotta probably try to make it to that open door before I run into some trouble. And I get it. I'm usually pretty suspicious of anybody wearing elbow pads. So anyway, let's go ahead, take our footage, drop it into our comp, and we want to go ahead and move forward to right before the fight starts here and trim our clip. So we'll slide this over, and then we'll move our clip over. And then we'll scale this down, hold down shift, and we want to position it so that Sam ends up right in the frame where we need him. Now, the other thing we want to do is find an action face. So using page up and page down, just keep moving forward until you find the action. There it is. That's the face we're looking for. So what we're going to do is do some time remapping. So we'll choose layer, time, enable time remapping. And we're going to just use it to freeze it at this point. So we'll set a keyframe, and then we'll move forward to the end keyframe just by clicking the next keyframe button and then just unchecking it. And that way, everything after that point will simply freeze. Now, to get rid of the time remap, just click on the stopwatch again if you want to change the frame. So anyway, this is exactly what we need. We need a little action, and then we need to pause. Okay, let's add some color correction. So we'll choose Effect Color Correction Tint and Effect Color Correction Curves. And we're going to tint it down and just add a little bit of a curves contrast. Now, we want to change the transfer mode to linear light. And you're going to see it's going to make it very, very strong and contrasted. But we want to be able to control that somewhat. And the way we're going to do that is with the curves adjustment. And we want to move it so that we don't just have a crushed image. We want a little bit of detail so that we can actually work with our image. Now, most of the color cast is actually coming from our background layer. So if we want to change it, we'll go into the solid settings and maybe just give it a little bit more green, maybe a little darker, and see what that looks like. Just choose OK. And then we'll just adjust the color a little bit more here. Now, we're also going to add a track mat. So let's create a new solid, and we'll choose OK. And it's going to be on top of the fight footage. And then we're going to take the mask tool, and we're going to draw a big mask around the top portion. And it's going to cut off just above the title. And then we're going to feather it. So turn up the feathering. And then we're going to use this solid as the track mat for our fight footage. So what we're going to do is bring up the track mat right here, and we're going to set it to alpha matte medium gray. And that's the layer right above it. We'll call it mask, and it's using that mask to actually render the transparency. So if we want to adjust it, we just feather it some. And if we want to move it, just double click on the mask and slide that around. Now the benefit of doing a track mat is then I can take our fight footage and move it around, and it will stay inside of that feathered mask. And that way I can frame it up the way I want and make sure that it's going to be as action-packed as possible. Because when you have a face like that, you don't want to screw it up. Now another thing I did is I added a little bit of a color bar. So I just used like a white solid, scale it down, move it over our text, and then maybe change it to overlay, and then lower the opacity. So it just creates a little bit of a contrast between what's text and what's not. And we can take that and place it right below our titles. And if we want, we can actually take those layers and bring them down just a bit so they are separated from our main title. So now we need to add a little bit of a transition here. So we're going to create a new orange solid. And we're going to change the transfer mode to add. And shut it off for a moment. And what we need to do is go to the point right when it freezes, right here, and turn that orange solid on and actually move it over so that it starts right then. And then we'll hit T, add an opacity keyframe. We'll move forward just a bit and we'll turn it down to 0. And so what that's going to do is just create a quick flash. And then it's going to pause. And this is when the menu actually starts. So, and we actually want to move everything over except for the footage and the background. So we'll take all the layers here and we'll slide them over. And you can just move them around like that. We want to keep our background solid here because it is contributing to the color. However, we don't want the mask to be used. So we're actually going to cut it off. So we're going to choose Edit Split Layer, Control Shift D. So we basically split it, and we're not going to use the track mat for the first part, so we can delete that part of the layer. So here we just have our footage, and then it flashes, and our menu is already on the screen. Now you can do a little scale keyframe on the recon man like I did in the original example, but this is the basic idea. Now the next part is adding a little bit of animation to the background while the menu is static. And to do that, we're going to be using a video copilot plugin called Twitch. And you can get it on the website. It's $45. It's a steal. It works with After Effects 6.5 and all the way up to CS4. And it's a fun little plugin. Definitely check it out. Otherwise, you can just do some animation by hand if you have the time. In any case, so we'll take our footage and we're going to add the Twitch plugin. So we'll type it in, Twitch. We'll drop that right on top of our footage. And we're going to make a few adjustments. So we'll go over kind of how this works. We have the speed and the amount. So those are global properties, but we also have the specific operators. And we're going to turn on the color, the light, and the scale. So what that does sort of randomly adds a bunch of movement. And, you know, the default level is nice, but let's make some adjustments. First, we don't want it to be very intense, so we'll turn this down to about 15. And second, we don't want it to be very often, so we'll turn the speed down to 3 times a second. So here we're going to see just a little bit of movement, not too much. Now I want to turn on the motion blur for the scaling. And so we'll go to the operator controls, go down to scale, and we want to make sure that we turn scale motion blur up to 100. And that way, as it moves, we get a slight motion blur. But we also want to change the point to his face. So the scaling all happens right around him, and you can sort of focus on that main person. Anyway, we'll go ahead and close that. And the other thing we may want to do is add a little bit of a slide. So we'll turn that on. And by the way, you can just shut these off so you can see what they're doing. And this one just sort of moves the frame around, and that's pretty cool. We can go down to the slide control, and we're going to turn the spread down. So instead of moving in a 360-degree pattern randomly, we just turn that down to 0. And now it just moves up and down. And to make it move side to side, we simply change the direction to 90 degrees. So now it's just going to move side to side. Now we also want to turn up the RGB split. So we'll slide that over. And so you can see we just get sort of this cool color shifting and just kind of a nice effect. Now, the idea here is to make sure we have an ongoing animation for about 10 seconds. And at that point, it's going to play and then loop back at the beginning. Okay, this menu is going to be the first thing that comes up on the DVD. So let's make sure that we fade it in. And we can just use a black solid and just fade it in. Hit T and lower the opacity here. And that way it fades in. We have the punch. And then goes into our DVD menu, looking good. Okay, so we have our DVD designed, and now we need to render it out so we can start compiling it in Encore or whatever DVD application you want to use. Now, the key is to understand a few principles. Now, when you export for a DVD, it needs to be in a specific MPEG-2 format, and the audio and the video are separate. They come together in the authoring program. Now, a lot of programs will allow you just to export a QuickTime movie, and it will actually do the transcoding or the encoding for you. You can do it that way, but I still think it's better to understand what's happening instead of relying on software to do it for you, especially if you don't know which software you're going to be using. So the video needs to be encoded in a specific format, but it also needs to be set up for a specific size as part of the DVD standard. So we've created a comp at a non-standard format, but we're going to bring it into a comp that is a standard format. So we'll come up to the top here. We're going to choose Composition, New Composition. And what we want to do is change it from D1 to NTSC DV widescreen. So that's 720 by 480 with the pixel aspect ratio of 1.2. And then I'm going to choose OK. And then we basically want to take our comp 1, which is our main menu, and bring it into that comp. Now what you're going to see is the menu looks almost exactly the same. Now we are cutting off a couple of pixels at the bottom, but that's okay so that we can conform to the correct standard. Now another thing you'll notice is that there's a weird aliasing going on, and it's almost like the image is being stretched. And that's because it is being stretched. If we make some space here, you're going to see a toggle pixel aspect ratio. And if you click that, here is what the actual comp size is. But we're telling it to make each pixel 1.2 in width rather than just 1. And that stretches the pixels so that you can create a widescreen format in the frame size of the DVD standard, which is only 4x3 or 720 by 480. So basically, this is how we get widescreen footage to fit in the same DVD standard. Now, if you're making a full screen DVD, or if you're making a 4x3 DVD menu, what you can do is go into the comp settings and change it from DV widescreen to just DV. And we're going to hit OK. Now notice the sides here. Basically, what's happening is now we're cutting off the sides and we're fitting our comp inside of it. Now, this is perfectly fine, especially since we designed the menu at a widescreen square pixel. We're not actually stretching any pixels here. In fact, we can move this over and render this out and have a perfectly good 4x3 menu. Now, in order to fit this whole thing in here, what we would do is scale it down. And then you have the letterbox bars on the top and on the bottom. Now, most DVD players will actually read the widescreen format and display it like this on the TV screen. So there's really no need to do this unless you have some very specific parameters that you're trying to adhere to. Anyway, let's go ahead and revert back to the widescreen project, and we'll go ahead and reset our footage. Now, I've also created some background music for our menu, and I'll take it and drop it down here. And actually, I want to look at it, so I'll hit LL. And if I zoom in here, there's a few sound effects, but there's this big hit in the music that happens just as it loops. And then the video goes on, and I actually have it fade out. You can see right here the audio fades out, and then it's going to loop right back here at the big hit. So it's going to fade out, and then bam, come right back in. So this is one way to avoid that sort of jump skip that a lot of DVDs will cause when a menu loops. And sometimes you'll hear the DVD pause. So I like to fade out my music and then just bring it back in at the point of the loop. Now, I also want to go ahead and just move my comp in so that it's just the length of my audio. But you can, you know, do it however you need. We'll go ahead, trim comp to work area. So we've got a DVD menu, we've got our audio, and now we need to render it out in the proper format. So we're going to choose composition, add to render queue. Then we're going to go into the output module settings, and we're going to change the format to MPEG to DVD. And then we're going to go into the format options. Now make sure you have export video and export audio selected, assuming you have audio in your project. And we're going to go and play with the settings. Now there are a few presets, but we're just going to go through the settings and make some changes. First, we'll set the quality to 5. And that's the maximum quality that you can get on a DVD, which should be pretty good. We're going to use NTSC, 29.97 frame rate. We can also use 23.97 or 24p if we were doing that. And the field order is progressive. We're not using interlaced footage here. And the pixel aspect ratio is widescreen, because remember, we want it to be widescreen. But if we were doing a standard 4x3 menu, we'd check that. Now, we come down here to the bitrate, and we can make a few changes here. Otherwise, the DVD won't play correctly. So I like to keep it around 6 or 6.5. And this we don't really need to get into. Audio, we're going to use PCM 16-bit 48 kilohertz. And we'll choose OK. And the audio automatically gets checked, and we're going to choose OK. So then we just set the output to, and we'll just call this main menu. And we'll choose save, and make sure the extension is there. And then we're just going to click render. Okay, so we have our menu, but we also need our feature presentation. So what I have here is just a quick little comp of the famous MPA warning, but I've actually changed it to the Promotional Picture Association, and we'll add a little gradient here, update it a little bit. And I'm sure you guys can come up with something clever to say that will be a nice play on words. But this is basically the placeholder for our feature presentation, and we're going to have our entire movie, and we're going to export it in the exact same settings as before. So add to render queue and set it up for the MPEG 2 DVD. Now, I have to say, there's a lot of good you can do with the DVD. And specifically, I created a little gift for my wife, which is just a little slideshow with some wedding pictures. And just has a cool little slideshow, and she can watch it. Now, if you go to the tutorial page, scroll down to number 12. And there's a tutorial for creating a very elegant slideshow. And it's pretty automated. You put the pictures in there, and bam, you have a slideshow. Just render it out, and you're going to probably get a nice dinner or something cool. And you can, you know, make custom buttons also. You know, have some fun with it. Okay, so we've exported our files, and now we're ready to move into Encore. And what we have is our main menu video and our main menu audio. We also have our feature presentation video and our feature presentation audio. So here's what we're going to create. Okay, so we have our motion menu, and we have our two buttons, and the menu also loops perfectly. And when you click on a button, it's going to go on to the feature presentation. So that is essentially what we're going to be taking a look at. Now, if we come into Encore, we're going to create a new project. So we'll go ahead and set this up, call this Recon Man, and it's a DVD, and it's NTSC, and we'll choose OK. And now we're going to import the rendered items. So we'll take our items here, and we'll drop them into the project. So we have our feature presentation, and we have our main menu. So first thing we're going to do is create our main menu. We're going to choose Menu, New Menu. And we'll go ahead, scale this down to 50%, and then we're going to come over here to the properties and set it up. First thing, it's a 16x9 menu, so it's widescreen. So go ahead and set that. And our motion, we need to set up our video. So we can do a little pick whip to our main menu video, and then we'll select the main menu audio. So that designates those two as being part of the menu. Now, we don't see anything in our menu, and that's because it starts as a black fade-in. So what we can do, find the point that we want it to loop at, which is right when it flashes and the buttons pop on, and we could safely say that it's approximately at 2 seconds. So we'll go back into Encore for the menu, and we want to set the loop point to 2 seconds. So as soon as we click away, our menu is now going to show up at that point in time. Now we want it to loop forever, so we'll go back to the basic setup, and what we need to do is create some buttons. Now there's a few different ways to do that in Encore, but we're going to focus on a very straightforward way that I like to use. It's also important to understand how buttons work in Encore. So remember, this video is pre-rendered. We already have our button there. It says play feature and we have bonus features. So that's how I like to do it. I like to build my text into my design, and that way this entire thing is already pre-rendered. So the buttons we're going to add are only going to be a highlight when that button is selected, and we don't want to have to re-render the menu. So let's go ahead and create a button. We're going to right-click and choose Edit Menu in Photoshop. So it's going to warn us about the pixel aspect ratio. Just choose OK. So we'll go to the Layer Palette and we'll click on New Folder. And we want to make sure we name it very specifically. So click, and then you can name whatever you want. So we'll just call this button. So inside of this folder, we need to create a layer that is going to be our highlight selection. So we're going to come over here, we're going to grab the rectangle shape tool, and then we need to make sure that this option is selected. And then we're going to create an outline around the button that we want to select. And that creates an opaque shape layer. And if we click away, that's what the button looks like. Well, first, we want to turn the opacity down, maybe to 50%. And just so that we can see it in Encore, we're going to make it red. But you can change this and make it as subtle as you'd like. We'll choose OK. Now, we also need to make sure that this is named another specific way. We want to do this, parentheses equals 1. And then we're going to shut the layer's eye off so that we don't see it. Then we'll just go ahead, click Save, and then we'll go back to Encore. And if we bring up the layers, we can see our button that we just created, but we can't see it in the menu. What we need to do is click on the Show Selected State. Now, the cool thing about this is we can actually take this button and scale it up, move it around, and use it for any kind of button that we need. And what I like to do, actually, is go to the library, and I take our button and I drop it into the library. And we'll go ahead and call it Golden Button and choose OK. And now I can take this button and bring it out in any project that I'm doing. And I can just go into Photoshop, update it, and if I want to change the color, I can just go in, make a change, re-save it, go back to Encore, and I have my buttons ready to go. But then I don't have to, you know, retype all that special code. It's right there and ready to go. So for what we're going to be doing, I'm going to delete that button. We'll take our golden button and we'll scale it down so that it fits right over the play feature. And then we're going to duplicate it. So we can hold down Alt and drag it, and that'll make a copy. Now you can see that it turns red, and that's because you can't have buttons that overlap. So make sure that the buttons are not overlapping. And that's looking good. So until the button is selected, it's not going to show anything at all. And then when they click on it, it'll go on to wherever you want it to go. Okay, in Encore, there are two main things that you're going to use most often, and that is a menu and a timeline. A menu has buttons and can navigate. A timeline is a video that's going to play. So we need to now create our feature presentation timeline. So we're going to select our presentation and our presentation audio, and we're going to choose Timeline, New Timeline. And what that does when you have it selected is it automatically adds it to that timeline, which is a nice little feature, save some time. And then we can go, we can scrub through, we can actually play the video, watch it. We can add chapter markers, which I like to do, just click right here, and it'll automatically allow you to, you know, skip through the video as you navigate with the next chapter button with the DVD remote. And we also have some properties to control our menu. And specifically, we have an end action. Now, the end action can take you back to places like the main menu. And we can just take the pick whip and take it back to the main menu item. And that way, when the video's done, it'll just go back to the menu and everything starts all over again. Now that our timeline is created, let's go back to our menu and set up the linking for our buttons. So we'll take the first button and we want to make sure we link it to the feature presentation. Now the bonus feature could be a link to another menu that has bonus items on it, and those bonus items could link to another specific video timeline for the respective videos. But for now, we're just going to link both the buttons to the feature presentation just for the sake of the demonstration. Now we can preview this, but one thing I like to do is go into the preferences. And if you go to the preview mode, we want to make sure that we preview in a 16:9 mode. And that means if we were watching a 16:9 TV, that's how it might look. But you can also look at it in the 4:3 mode where it'll actually letterbox. So we'll choose OK. OK, before we preview, let's make sure our DVD is set up properly. So if we have the menu selected, we see properties for that menu. But if we click on the project, we can see disk properties. But be careful, because depending on where you're selected, you're going to see different properties, and you don't want to accidentally change properties for something that you don't intend to. So make sure the project is selected, and we'll go ahead, we can name the DVD. Now we can also set up the first play, and that's the thing that the DVD is going to play when it's first inserted. Now if you've ever watched a B movie, there's about 500 movie trailers before the actual menu, and the way you could do that is create a timeline for each of those previews and simply set the first play to the timeline rather than to the menu. And likewise, you can have, you know, a copyright warning or anything like that to play first, and then what you would do is go into the timeline for the copyright warning and simply set the end action to take you back to the menu, and everything sort of navigates and controls together. But back to the disk options. We want the first play to be our menu. We're not going to waste your time. We're going to go straight to the menu, and then you can go straight to the video. Okay, now that that's set up, let's preview our disk. So we'll click on the preview button up here, and then we get a sample of what our DVD is going to look like. Now, our play feature button highlights first, and we can also roll over our other bonus feature button. We can click on the play feature, and it'll move on to our feature presentation. So everything seems to look good. Always make sure that timelines go back to menus and that you have a full circle loop between all of your items. You don't want to create any orphan timelines. So this is all looking pretty good. We can go ahead and close that. And now I'd say it's ready to burn the disk. So we'll come over here to the project, click on the build tab, and there's a bunch of settings here. We've named our project, which is good. Our destination is all set up for our DVD. Our disk is well under the 4.3 gigabytes or so that can fit on a DVD. And it's a one-sided DVD. And we set it up for all regions. So everything is all set up, and we just click build and put in a fresh DVD, burn the disk, and you're all done. Although before you send it out to, you know, millions of people, make sure you test it a couple of times first. Please insert DVD media. No, I don't. I'm just doing a tutorial. This is just a test. I don't really need to burn this. Sorry. Sorry to bother you, computer. My disk drive just opened up and it was very angry. Anyway, DVDs can be as simple or as complicated as you want. There's just the two simple things, the timelines and the menus. And if you think about what you want to achieve, there should be a pretty good way to do it using Encore or any DVD software. They all pretty much work the same. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this tutorial. Be sure to check out our blog and our forum if you'd like to discuss the tutorial or any other ideas you might have. And as always, be sure to check out our great products. There's some great stuff there, like some cinematic music, great sound effects, and incredibly useful design elements, as well as Twitch, which you saw how useful that is. So my name is Andrew Kramer for VideoCopilot.net, and I will see you next time. That way, the menu plays through, and then it loops back to that flashing frame and just keeps on playing until someone clicks a button. And frankly, a movie called Recon Man 4, I can imagine nobody really wants to hit play. But then why did you buy it? Is it because it was on sale? It was in the $1.99 rack? Now, if you dig long enough, you might find a movie called Short Circuit. And it's about this little robot called Johnny Five. And now that